So, Hare Krishna. My name is Badahari Das. I was initiated by Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. My good fortune. That name comes from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. There were different devotees of Lord Chaitanya who were Hare Das. Hari means Krishna, of course, and Das means servant. So, of course, there was Haridas Thakur. There's also Chota Haridas, means junior Haridas, and Boro Haridas, or Bada Haridas, is a senior. So he was devotee of Lord Chaitanya in the Sankirtan movement. So I was born in Iowa, little town. And my father was an electrical engineer, so not much work in that little town. So we moved to California, Los Angeles area when I was 7. So I grew up in Los Angeles. My parents were religious. We went to church every Sunday. Father was an elder in the church. And so I went to church every Sunday with them. Actually, when I was probably a young teenager, I did have a kind of a religious experience, or almost like a mystical experience, that I just knew that God existed and He was watching me. It's hard to describe, but it was very real for me that, oh, God exists. But as I grew, I was also, from a young age, I was interested in music. And that was pretty much all I wanted to do. All right, Krishna, thank you. Pretty much all I wanted to do was music, and started taking piano lessons when I was 9, and also learned trombone and bass and saxophone. I made a living through going through college as a bass player. And so as I grew, I didn't find much satisfaction in Christianity. It was nice. I mean, people went to church, but I didn't feel like it was deeply spiritual. I felt like it was more kind of a social kind of thing. And of course, there are many sincere Christians. I don't want to put a negative spin on Christianity, but that was kind of my experience. And so I gradually became more interested in my music career and less interested in going to church. But through the ups and downs of life, you know, whatever, losing girlfriends, and the things that adolescents go through, heartbreaks and so on, I began to question more. And so, you know, kind of as a young person in college, I began to look into yoga and meditation. To reading books like Autobiography of a Yogi and Zen Buddhism. You know, those are popular. And so I was branching out in that way, looking at different things. I also looked into psychology as kind of a means to solve your problems, you know, understanding the mind. And I quickly came to the conclusion that that was kind of a dead end, you know. Hare Krishna, thank you so much. Yeah, nice to meet you. Thank you for singing. You've got a beautiful voice.
Oh, thank you.
Soulful. What was I saying? Oh yeah, I quickly became, you know, I just read one book and I realized all the problems are coming from the mind. You're not going to solve the problems with the mind. You know, I just like, that psychology's useless. You're not going to really get anywhere with that. That was my conclusion. I still agree with that. Although, certainly psychology has its utility, you know, certainly has utility, but it's not going to take you to the ultimate goal of life, you know. So anyway, I graduated from college and I got a scholarship to study in Europe, and I was part of an orchestra there. And we were also doing like avant-garde music. I was doing things like crawling inside of a piano and making noises and recording it, you know. It was kind of the avant-garde music scene then. And during that time, I had this sort of growing need to take up spiritual life, to find a spiritual path. And I practiced, what was it called? Transcendental meditation. That was kind of popular at the time. TM, right? And So I was meditating every day, and it was kind of nice, but I was sort of like hankering to know more. So I went to one meeting, and I asked them.
This is New York, right?
No, this was in Europe, in Switzerland, yeah. So anyway, when I came back, to Los Angeles, and I looked them up, and I was wanted to know more, and I found out they didn't really know more. I said. And I want to understand more. And she said, well, you probably know more than you think you do. So that wasn't very satisfying.
Who told you that? And
one other teacher. I was kind of became sort of disillusioned with that as like a path. But I had this growing desire, to know more. And somehow or other I'd met devotees, actually. I'd seen devotees in college. I went to University of Southern California. And I'd seen some devotees there. I never talked to them, but I saw them. And in my travels going back and forth to Europe, I got a Bhagavad Gita in the airport, LAX. And I got a... Thank you. So, and I got a BTG in Washington, D.C. I read it. And anyway, so when I came back to California, the amazing thing happened. My dad also traveled some. And he came home from his travels and he put a mantra card on my desk. And it said, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Chant and your life will be sublime. And on the back it said, classes on bhakti yoga. And I thought, what's bhakti yoga? I've heard of Raja yoga and Hatha yoga. I knew a little bit about yoga. And, different books. So I thought, what's bhakti yoga? So I called them up. At that time I was staying at my sister's house.
Los Angeles.
Yeah, Los Angeles area. And they were out of town, so I was taking care of their cats. Right? I was feeding them while they were gone.
Sisters.
My sister, yeah. So I talked to a devotee. His name was Hashipriya. I met him later. And I said, so what's bhakti yoga? And he said, bhakti yoga means to serve God. Actually, we're all servants. If you don't serve God, you'll serve a cat or a dog. So at the time, I was serving cats. So I thought, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So anyway, I went down to the temple. And I stayed overnight. They invited me to stay overnight, so I spent the night.
Watsika Avenue.
This is 1975. June, July, maybe. And so I spent the night and, talked to the devotees, and I was just convinced that this was what I was looking for. This is a spiritual path I was looking for, although I didn't really know very much, but, it just seemed very authoritative and very real, I liked the devotees. I could see they were happy, they were making spiritual progress, and they weren't pretending, they weren't like, they're just normal people. They looked a little weird to me, but they were just normal people, and they were making spiritual progress, and they were very down to earth, So I became convinced, So I said, I'll be back on Wednesday after I help my dad paint the house, and I'll move into the temple. Of course, they didn't believe that I'd be back, but I did. That's what I did. I helped my dad paint his house, and I came back on Wednesday and moved into the temple. And the day that I moved into the temple, they put about 30 of us on the back of a flatbed truck, big, long flatbed truck that was covered with a tarp. And we drove to San Francisco for Rath Yatra. And the next day, I got to see Srila Prabhupada.
So, 75.
75, Rath Yatra, 75. So I stayed in the temple. I was a brahmachari, like you, good brahmachari, for 6 years, I guess. But shortly after, I was moved to Laguna Beach. So I was in Laguna Beach for the next 20 years, pretty much. And, you know, if you stay someplace long enough, you become the temple president. So that's what happened. I was the temple president. I was brahmachari for 6 years. My wife and I met in Laguna. So we were married then. Been married 36 years now. So, yeah. That's my early story. Hare Krishna.
And how did you get involved with Agnidev?
Agnidev was the temple president in Laguna when there was actually, there's a few of us that were sent to Laguna because there was a big problems there, which I won't tell you about, but it was not good. It was not good. So a lot of devotees left and different things happened. And so Agnidev was there. I was Sankirtan leader, book distributor, and I became Agnidev's harmonium player because he didn't play harmonium. I played piano before, so I picked up harmonium. So I played harmonium for him, and he was really into. I mean, we were busy. We were distributing books, and you know, we were busy, but. We'd spend time learning like Bhaktivinoda Thakur songs, Narottam Das Thakur songs, and we would sing those, and of course we did kirtan. So I got that experience with Agnidev. You know, he was my old big brother.
Did you record those albums with him?
Yeah, I did. Those early recordings you hear, that's me on harmonium. Yeah, I actually recorded. We recorded at a friend's house. It was called Tribute to Srila Prabhupada, I think we called that. It was a cassette. And we recorded that on a reel to reel tape, stereo recording. It was recorded at a friend's house. And then later we did another one that I was recording and playing harmonium. This is the two. It's basically a stereo cassette. It's called Tribute to the Holy Name. A lot of those classic melodies are on there, you know. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Yeah, those kind of classic. We were getting tapes from Mayapur. And there was devotees like Murari Hari and Sarvagya, Bengali devotees, and Agni was learning those melodies. So we would sing. That's where those were classic, you know, Mayapur melodies that we were singing. And Agni had he's from Trinidad actually, but he could sing kind of like Bengali. I mean, it was simple. His singing was very nice in that it was easy to follow. It wasn't the flowery kind of Bengali. Hare Krishna. You know, it was followable, you know, but very, you know, very classic kind of sound. So. Yeah, so we had that, along with everything else we did, I had a nice kirtan experience. You know, learning kirtan.
You're on the streets, like doing Harinam?
Yeah, we did Harinam on the streets. We're also, Laguna is right across from the beach, so we would go down to, there's like a central plaza, and we'd sit there and chant for hours sometimes and distribute books, so we would do that. Also, we did programs at devotees' homes, you know, kind of like Namahat kind of programs that we did. And, yeah.
Could you tell us about your initiation? Was it in Los Angeles?
Yeah, it was in Los Angeles. Of course, this was later, you know, in our movement. So at that time, I was initiated by Srila Prabhupada, but the ceremony was actually performed by one of his disciples, Tamal Krishna Goswami. Yeah.
In Los Angeles?
In Los Angeles, yeah.
Which year was that?
It had been 1976, I guess. And then I took second initiation on Radhastami, 77. So it was just a few months before Srila Prabhupada passed away. like a second initiation. That ceremony was performed by Rameshwar.
Where again?
Also in Los Angeles. Because Laguna Beach is just about an hour drive south of Los Angeles. So we would... Actually, we were having a lot of trouble with the city. They didn't like us, understandably, considering what happened there. But gradually they came to like us. It took a while. They came to appreciate us. But we got off to a rocky start. So our temple was just a little house, you know, kind of like this.
Oh, it's not the one that is...
It's not what it is now. That was later. That was in 1980 that we got that place. Okay. Well, here's what happened. We had a house on Costa. It was a large house, but it was a house. So it wasn't zoned for public gatherings. So, of course, we did it anyway. Hare Krishnas in those days did everything illegal. You know, nothing we did was illegal. But after a while, you know, they stopped us. They stopped us from, doing our program.
So we complained or something?
Yeah, we got some complaints. And mostly the city was just not very fond of us. So we couldn't have public programs for a while. So anyway, as it turned out, there was a church like just a block away that had lost its congregation, was basically vacant, and some businessmen bought it, and they were going to put up a big apartment building there, right? But after they bought it, they discovered it was zoned as a church, and they couldn't get the zoning changed, so they couldn't build their apartments. And we had a place right on Coast Highway that was actually perfect for commercial property. So we wound up trading. And that's how we got, that property was worth more, so we were still making mortgage payments, but more or less we swapped, you know. So that's how we got that property. And then it took a while before we could get, you know, permission to renovate and all that stuff. You know, there's all this coastal commission and this commission. So finally, after some time, we got permission to renovate, and Agni's idea was to have the Panchatattva deities. So we had deities of Panchatattva. There were three sets of those deities. They're made in Los Angeles, actually, those deities by our own devotees. And they're not, they look like they're marble, but they're actually a resin. And so there was some deities that were made for a place called Badger, California. And then there was some that were made for Hawaii. And then there was a third set that was made for us in Laguna Beach. So we had Panchatattva deities. New Jarikanda, how did you know that? Yeah. Place where animals chant and dance. Yeah. So anyway, yeah, so I was there till 96. Managed the temple from 85 to 96. Well, we were there. And had a nice congregation, and we would get about 300, 400 people on a Sunday. Sunday programs, and a lot of college kids came. Part of my service was I was doing lectures at universities, so I had a lot of opportunity to speak at the colleges around the area and sometimes high schools. And so that was a lot of fun to speak like that. And that was, yeah, many years I did that. We at actually my wife and I were married for 10 years before we kind of thought that we should have children. if we're gonna have children, we should probably have children pretty soon. So at that time, that was later. So anyway, we had two children, a boy and a girl. And when my son was two, my daughter was like five. It just wasn't working out for them, you know, to be in the temple and everything. There's like no kids, no school or anything. So at that time I kind of turned over the management to some other devotees, and that's when we moved to Florida. So we've been there for the last 18 years or so. And the kids grew up there.
Is that Tukaram Prabhu took over?
Yeah. Actually, there was one person in between, but shortly after Tukaram took over. Yeah.
And then you moved to Florida.
Yeah.
Gainesville, by the way?
Yeah, we're in Gainesville. Yeah, near Alachua. And so our kids were able to go to school there. And nice community, amazing community, beautiful deities.
In Gainesville?
In Alachua. In Alachua, yeah.
New Ramanreti.
Yeah, New Ramanreti. Yeah. Yeah, it's the beautiful deities of Radha Shama Sundar and Krishna Balaram.
Were you ever temple president there as well?
No. I was on the board of directors for like a year or so, but I didn't, yeah. Actually, when I was leaving, my good friend is Gunagrahi Goswami. You know him?
Gunagrahi Goswami.
Yeah, he was my good friend because he was in San Diego when I was in Laguna, so he was like my big brother. When things were tough, I could call him up and help. Anyway, so when I was leaving Laguna Beach, I said, "Do you have any advice for me?" And he said, "Stay out of management." So that was my last management position. So in Gainesville, I was teaching. I taught the kids music and stuff like that.
Devotees or what?
Yeah, devotees. Uh-huh. Yeah, I taught. I must have taught about 300 teenage girls how to play mridanga and harmonium. Because there were good schools there.
Gurukul.
Gurukul, yeah, Gurukul. There was a girls' school, Lacho Academy for girls, and boys' school. Yeah. So I was teaching, and that's when I started recording. Also, I started teaching myself recording, and started producing some music and like that.
How many albums have you recorded?
Seven. Yeah. Well, I've also done albums. I've also produced things for other devotees too, and mixed and work. Like I mixed a couple CDs for Vyasaki Prabhu, and there's a Gurukuli called Lalita. Her stage name is As It Is. Have you ever heard of her?
As It Is.
Anyway, she does kind of Krishna conscious rap music. So I produced one of her CDs. And a few other CDs.
Devotional.
Yeah, devotional CDs, yeah. I thought about trying to do it as an occupation, you know, but I just couldn't get into working with non-devotees and all that. Yeah. So yeah, I've been fortunate. I've been able to do devotional music since.
Could you tell us about your travels to India? The first time you went to India, like, was it when you were in India?
Yeah, I went to India in 1978. That was the first time. That was after Prabhupada passed away. I went with Agni and a few devotees, and India is transformative. Vrindavan is transformative. Something miraculous happens there. I mean, besides getting sick and all the other things that happen, but says something happens in your heart. You know, the Dham really has. You know, Lord Chaitanya said that there's five potent items of devotional service, you know, worshipping the deity, Srimad Bhagavatam, association of devotees, chanting the holy names, and living in the Dham. And it's true, the Dham, especially Vrindavan, is very, very powerful. In Mayapur too, of course. So that was, yeah.
How long did you stay there?
I think we're a month there.
That was enough?
Yeah, that was during... That was for Gaur Purnim that year, and we went to Mayapur and we went to Vrindavan. Yeah. And then I got to go later. My wife and I went later a few times.
Lately, you've been traveling a lot.
Yeah. Well, in 2012, I got a call from Indraduna Swami. And he said, "Do you want to come to Vrindavan?" And I hadn't been for like 20 years. Been a long time. And he said, I'm leading a parikrama there. About 300 devotees come from Russia, mostly from Russia, Ukraine. Other places too, but mostly Russian devotees. And he said, you can, you know, lead some kirtan, give some classes, you know, help me with the retreat. So I went that year, and I was with him, and like, I don't know, after a couple of weeks, he announced to the group, he said, Badahari and I have made a pact to travel together. He never asked me.
He just announced it.
So anyway, so.
So have you been doing that parikram with him since?
Yeah, well, I've been, yeah. Well, in
2012.
Since, yeah, so the last four and a half years almost now, I've been traveling with him. So I've been, yeah, all over. The first year, I've calculated, we went to 12 different countries. He's a real traveler. Of course, he's been traveling for a long time. And so he visits, you know, Russia, Ukraine, Australia, South Africa, of course, Poland, the Polish tour. And he also goes to England. He spends a little time in America, but not so much. And so, yeah, we visited wherever, Kazakhstan, Kazan, Macedonia, Mongolia, we went recently, China, Hong Kong, yeah, so different places.
Your wife travels with you as well?
Sometimes. She chooses. She didn't come to Mongolia with us. Yeah. India, of course.
And can I ask you about how did you get in touch with Jaisita to record your albums? How was that project?
Where did we meet? Well, she was living in Philadelphia, and she was studying music there. And while she was there, she was also studying yoga. And the yoga teacher happened to be a devotee, and so she became a devotee right in Philadelphia, right? And when I didn't meet you there, though. I met you in Lacho, right? Somehow or other, I'd heard about her. I heard there's this devotee girl, Yaitza, who's a good cellist. And I'm always happy to meet devotee musicians. So we met there, right? And then, I don't remember exactly, but I just started in getting her in the studio. Play this, do this, do that.
In your own studio?
Yeah, I have a small studio. I have a small home studio. That's where I do all my work, yeah. It's modest. Well, small but mighty. No, the way the recording stuff is now, you can do just in one room and a computer and an interface and a couple microphones. You can do a lot. So, yeah. She's playing on three tracks from my upcoming album.
Huh? Never recorded like 5 years ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah, those were recorded a while. I haven't recorded with her for a while. But we did the first Mayapuri CD before they were. Were they even called the Mayapuris then? Maybe they were. And that one never got released, though.
Oh, never got?
Yeah.
So this new album that you...
But she played on that.
This new album, it was recorded, like these tracks you recorded with Jaisita.
Some of them, yeah.
Years ago.
There's recorded, but some of them, there's some new things. And there's some things that she was with that I never released. So I'm
finally going to release.
Finally getting around to...
It's going to be your eighth album?
No, this is seventh. It's number
the
seven.
Seventh. Oh, this
yeah,
is seventh.
This is number seven, yeah.
So it's still to be released.
Yeah, it's in the works. It's done. We just started working on the album cover and stuff, so probably be out in, I don't know, in a month or so, maybe.
And you sell your albums online? How can devotees get a hold of your albums? Are there still
Well, it's hard to sell albums, really. Mostly I sell albums when I travel.
When
I travel, then I'll sell. But other, but otherwise, well, I work with CD Baby. You know, it's a company. It's quite easy because you can submit your CD to them, and they'll sell the CDs. They put it up online, and they also arrange for all the digital distribution. So they, you know, for a very modest price, it was like $35 or something. They'll sell your CDs, and then they put it up on iTunes and Amazon and everywhere. So they're
digital.
Yeah, so they're everywhere. So mostly I'm selling like that, like digital. That's kind of the way things are going these days.
So your plans for the future are to keep like doing this, traveling around the world?
For a while, yeah. Let's see how long I can go.
Festival.
Sometimes I get tired and I just want to go home. But actually, sometimes I'm with Indradrim Maharaj. He probably wouldn't mind if I said this. Anyway, and we're like just like somewhere we don't even know where we are, and like, what just happened? Where were we? Where are we? And sometimes he'll say, "I want to go home." He said, "Oh yeah, I don't have a home." So, anyway, so yeah, I'll probably, it's a good fortune to travel with such a wonderful devotee like him. He's a really amazing person. He's also very, I mean, he's an advanced devotee, but he's also a very humble soul. You know, he's just easy to be with. He's just like kind of a normal guy, you know. So, but he's not. He's not at all. But he's not. You know, I mean, he's a humble person. So it's very easy to travel with him, and he makes, you know, arrangements for me.
The first time I went to a kirtan was with him. First time I ever went to a kirtan was him leading the kirtan at the yoga studio in Philadelphia.
Oh, Indradrim was. Wow, really.
No.
Boy, that was probably the last time he ever traveled in that part of the United States, I think. He used to, in June, travel around the U.S. every year, like visit like 12 cities in a month or something. It's just like, phew. But it got to be too much for his health, so pretty much he just comes for Sadhu Sangha now. Amazing kirtan here. It's just so joyful, you know, his kirtan. So, yeah.
Do you have any plans to learn Russian?
I'm too old to learn Russian. I know a few words. Spasibo bolshoi. Ochen harisho. And, yeah. Спасибо.
Привет.
Yeah.
You've been to Russia as well, or did you?
Oh yeah, 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 several times. Yeah. Hare Krishna.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Anything else you want to ask?
No.
When are you coming back to Puerto Rico?
Oh, I don't know. When Christian brings me back.
We'll have to pay hard.
Yeah. Hopefully before 7 years, right? Last time was 7 years ago. So. No, it was actually, I like Puerto Rico. I like the devotees of Puerto Rico. And the people are nice.
And it's so close by.
They're open.
Right?
Yeah, except I'm never there. That's the problem.
You're not much of the time.
Yeah, I'm not there. Last year I was home for 2 weeks.
Really?
Yeah.
The rest of the year you're just traveling?
Just traveling, yeah.
Wow.
So, but hopefully I can come back. Be with the devotees again. Thank you for pushing on the Krishna consciousness movement here in Puerto Rico. I appreciate it. It's nice to see bright-faced devotees, brahmacharis.
It's a reflection of your brightness.
No, Hare Krishna. Okay. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Thank you.